All right, so let's call the meeting to order. This is the State Board of Real Property Tax Services. And I'm Matt Rand, I'm the chairman. I'm here with fellow board members, Sam Casella and Scott Becker, and various staff. So we've got a pretty short agenda here to cover. So first we have minutes from our July 29th board meeting that we have to accept for the record.
I move to approve them.
I will second them.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So the minutes are adopted. And then let's move on to the STAR exemption appeals process. Who's going to walk us through that?
Okay, this is Tim. I'll start us off. Subsequent to the last meeting, Joe Gerberg thought some more about some of the concerns you had expressed and has a new proposal on how we could handle the STAR exemption appeals. And with that, I'll turn it over to Joe.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Yes, as you recall, in the last meeting, we were talking about the STAR exemption appeals that go to the State Board. And the proposal that was presented by staff, which I was primarily behind, would have involved turning the board into basically an appellate body and hearing the appeals from taxpayers directly. The board expressed concerns about that, which, you know, it was thought were valid concerns, and I decided after the meeting, even though the board went with the recommendations, to see if there was another way to approach it that would address those concerns. And after looking into the law further and discussing it with other attorneys, I think my initial reading, which was the basis for my original recommendation, was based on too limited a reading of the law, too literal a reading of the law. The law refers to the appeal to the board as a hearing, and I took that to mean, well, a hearing is an in-person forum, but really the word hearing can be construed more liberally than that if there's no evidence in the statute that an in-person hearing was really contemplated. And an appeal that constitutes a presentation of an argument on papers and the consideration by the appellate body of the papers without in-person appearances can reasonably be considered a hearing. And after I came to that realization, I thought that would be probably a better model. Of course, it's your decision, but I wanted to at least put that in front of you and see if you wanted to consider that. That would mean that the way things would work is when an appeal is made of the ORP's decision, if these will be decisions that somebody's not eligible for the STAR exemption, we would review what's in their appeal. It's possible, and it has happened in the past, that people will present information in the appeal that wasn't presented in their original back and forth with ORPS. If we find that that information is actually useful information and changes our determination, the proposal is that we would reverse ourselves, grant them the exemption, and you wouldn't even have to act on it. In those cases where people are just reiterating the arguments that they made to us, which we considered insufficient under the law, we would pass those along to you with a recommendation. We'd give you a memorandum saying this is what their argument is, this is what the law says, and based on our reading of the law, we don't believe this should be approved. And you'd see that, and you'd see the complaint, the appeal, and then you would meet and act on the appeal. So that doesn't contemplate that the property owner would be present. It's certainly possible that they might appear. These are open meetings. Anybody's entitled to observe. And if they If they were to ask to be recognized and the board wished to recognize them and let them speak, that would be within the board's discretion. But unlike the prior proposal, that it's not premised. This does not assume that that will happen. This assumes that the memo will go to the board and the board will act on the papers. And in its discretion, if there's an appearance, the board would be free to let them speak, but it's not, that's not part of the formal process. So that's the main difference between the recommendation that we gave you in July and the recommendation now. Otherwise, the process would work the same, but you would be acting on paper recommendations rather than an in-person appeal. So the if that's acceptable to you, and of course I'm happy to answer any questions or help you with your discussion, we'd recommend the adoption of resolution 20-09, which would repeal 2008, which you adopted in July, and adopt the procedures that were included in your this month's board package.
Well, Mr. Chairman, can I, I'll move that if Scott will second it so we can have some discussion.
Sure.
Scott?
Okay, sure, great. I'll second it, so let's discuss.
Joe, I read all the information that Brittany did such a great job assembling it. I'm trying to recollect what we did back in July, but, and I know you just explained it, but I'm not an attorney, and I'm just trying to figure out on a regular basis when we would meet quarterly, how does this, would this presumed action affect what we've done or how we've done it in the past in a very broad sense? Does it necessarily reduce some of our meetings? I'm just not quite clear on what all this does.
Well, in terms of the frequency of the meetings, there wouldn't be a need to meet more frequently than you have been meeting, which currently you have 4 meetings on the calendar a year. They don't all happen, but we don't anticipate more than 4 meetings in a year. They'd be since these would be recommendations that would be on without the expectation of scores of people making in-person appeals to you, we would anticipate that you could handle, say, the November 10th meeting. There are a number of pending appeals. I don't know how many are prepared, but I would imagine you could handle 30 or 40 or 50 of those, because we'd give you a memo that says, here are 30 appeals based on income. The property owners had more than $250,000 in income in 2018. They want us to consider their 2019 income, but the statute is clear that for a 2020 star exemption, we can only look at 2018 income. So based on this, we recommend you deny these. So there would, of course, be discussion, and we would walk through each one individually, but that wouldn't take hours to get through that. Then we'd move on to the 8 denials based on age, and that could be likewise done in a more efficient manner. So probably you could do dozens of these at a meeting and continue to stay with a four meeting a year schedule, although if there was a surge, we could schedule a meeting if necessary to consider them. But
so Joe, is there a particular deadline that we have to answer these by?
Not really. If you decide, these people have been denied the STAR exemption, so their September school tax bills were determined without the STAR exemption. If you grant them an appeal, if they appeal to you and you approve it, we would issue them a check. So if their school tax bill went, they lost the STAR exemption and had to pay an extra $650 in school taxes as a result, and you said the exemption should have been granted, we would send them a check for $650. that doesn't have to be done by any particular time. Obviously, the property owner would like it sooner rather than later, but there's no specific deadline that has to happen by.
Right, but at this point, we probably wouldn't have all of them. I certainly would think we definitely wouldn't have all of them for November. So they're going to carry over into next spring, right, which is our meeting.
There's a February meeting. I mean, I think Brittany sent around a proposed schedule, and we have a February 2nd meeting. Of course, we haven't firmed that up yet. That's just a proposal.
Right, okay.
But
so they carry it to February, which isn't so far away. Okay.
Isn't right. Normally, the February meeting doesn't happen, but this year we probably would have a February meeting to deal with the appeals.
Just for this purpose.
Right.
Right. And then the ones that the appeals that staff look at and see that, in fact, there's new evidence or new supporting evidence for the exemption, is that, will that just be processed, or will we have to approve that for
the recommendation
process and the check?
The recommendation that's been given to you today would have the ORP staff take care of that on their own. If they think they're eligible after they've reviewed the additional information, they would grant the exemption and issue them the check, and you wouldn't you wouldn't even see that. If you're not comfortable with that, you're certainly will have the authority to tell us you want to see all of them. But since there wouldn't really be an issue there, nobody's arguing that they shouldn't get the exemption. We didn't really see the need to take your time up with those.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if it had been approved in the first place, it wouldn't have come into us. So
correct.
That's fine.
Correct.
Sam, I think you had another question. I'm sorry. I cut you off there.
This is Sam. I don't want to cut off Scott, but I mean, I know we all know this, and maybe just for the sake of the minutes, this resolution we're pondering is simply an exclusive to STAR exemptions, correct?
That is correct. The other things you do, special franchise and equalization complaints, they wouldn't be affected by this.
And thank you. I understood that. I just want to make sure I had it clear, and I thought I did, but thank you. I'm all set, Matt, as far as I'm concerned.
I just have a follow-up question about the idea of of appellants, or whatever you would like to call the people who are looking for us, who are the taxpayers, joining the call and then asking to be heard, and then in our discretion we can allow them to be heard. I just, the only thing that gets me nervous is the wrong word. The only thing that makes me think of concerned is that if we allow some people to do it and not others, I mean, I don't know. Is it fair? I mean, is it completely within our discretion? Should we be telling them that, it's a public hearing? I mean, I don't want to, throw this whole baby out with the bathwater, but I just want to be sure that no one's going to be, have a basis to say, well, the board, was arbitrary and didn't let me speak, or didn't tell us that we could speak, or that kind of stuff. I'm curious to what you think about that, Joe.
I understand the concern. I don't know that it rises to the level of a due process violation if you decide to let someone speak at a public meeting and not let someone else speak at the public meeting. If you want to be uniform about it, then I think, you would say, we need to have a uniform policy about that. I don't think you have to have that in the resolution. I don't think the resolution addresses that. It says it's a public meeting and anybody's entitled to view it, to attend and view it. It doesn't say anybody's. It may say it's a matter of discretion for the board whether or not.
But I mean, I think almost by definition, if it's a matter for discretion of the board, then it's not a question of due process, right? I mean, it's almost definitional.
Right, that's right. I mean, that's the essence of discretion.
Right.
They'd have to make an argument that the board was abusing its discretion, and that the burden would be on them to make that argument. That, you know, I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but it would be an uphill climb. And the real issue, if they're appealing, they're going to really need to have a strong case on the merits. The mere fact that you didn't let them speak isn't going to take them all that far.
Right. And also, I assume that they're being told that, you know, whatever documentary proof that they have, they're going to submit it with their application.
Yes, there's an appeals form, and it says, you know, explain why you think the exemption should have been granted, and attach any necessary documentation.
Right. So wonderful.
They should have provided that to us in the first instance, but
in the first place, anyway. Exactly.
Right.
Okay. And then I guess the last thing, I mean, we don't have to put a, do we have to put a rationale in the minutes, or can we, is it just, you know, grant the appeal or deny the appeal?
I think based on the information provided, the board determines that the board affirms the determination of staff. I don't think we have to do more than that.
All right. Okay, I'm good. Matt, what about you?
I'm good too. I think this is, this seems like it addresses the issue in a fair way, and I think in an efficient manner as well. So I'm ready to recommend resolution 20-09. So we can vote on that. We have the motion already. So why don't we call the vote?
Aye.
Any other discussion, or we're?
Oh no, nope. Call the vote.
Okay. All right. So all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Did I hear from everybody?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
From Sam, anyway.
Okay. Good. All right. So the resolution is approved, and thank you, Joe, and thank you to the staff. I think this was a really good solution.
Okay, well, thank you. And I thought it was a helpful conversation last week and last month. I appreciate your willingness to reconsider the issue.
Well,
all right. Well, thank you.
I think it goes without saying that, you know, the three of us appreciate your looking further into the issue. So thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right, our last item is privilege of the floor. Is there any other business that we need to discuss? Do we want to talk about the schedule for next year? Did anybody have any issues with the schedule?
No,
that,
this is Scott. I looked at the dates, and they are all good with me, the dates that Brittany proposed.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
So good. I'm stuck with a whole bunch of Zoom meetings coming through next year, so it might travel out of the state. It's going to be limited. I don't see any conflict at the moment, and I believe I'm good to go.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. So I think it's, you know, basically I'm going to be around. Where are we going?
Yeah, you can't go to anywhere without having to quarantine when you get back. Who needs that?
Right. So I think we'll all be here, and hopefully later in the year we will have conflicts we'll have to work around. But certainly in the foreseeable future, we're going to be living in this pandemic. So any other business that we need to discuss?
Well, Matt, before you move to adjourn, and Scott can certainly make that, I really want to thank all the staff, but also Brittany again. She does a great job with this stuff. And it keeps me on my toes, and I look for the emails and the mailed packages. Thank you very much, Brittany. If you're still on the phone, you do a terrific job. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that. And next time I'll double check the time, Brittany. So sorry about that.
We're good.
Okay.
All right. So motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right. So we are adjourned, everybody. Thank you very much, and stay safe and healthy.